Hey everyone, just a quick note before we get into the episode. We had a mini audio snafu with Rachel's mic, so you'll notice that the audio quality on her end is not up to our usual standards, so it's going to sound a little different. We've since figured out the problem, so we're good to go for next episode, but sorry about that, and thank you so much for bearing with us. Here we go.
Welcome to Oh, I Like That, a podcast about things we like and occasionally things we don't.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Sally. How's it going?
Going okay. Speaking of how it's going,
let me
do a little vibe check.
Yeah.
Okay. So the vibe is complex, as I feel it often is these days. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling still pretty great about Trump's loss.
Good, good.
Feeling real bad about the tens of millions of people who voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Feeling real energized, though, for the work ahead, dealing with, you know, that whole situation.
Yep.
TM, TM, TM. And I'm also feeling real bad right now about the state of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's been a rough few days, a few weeks. The numbers are not good. And I feel like yesterday it kind of like hit a lot of people just seeing how much they've grown in the past 2 weeks since November 1st. I know that that is definitely having an impact on my vibe this morning. I'm feeling very concerned heading into the holidays that we are not in a good place right now.
Yeah, we're not. We're in a like distinctly bad place. And I wanted more for us in month 8 of this pandemic. I really, really did.
I know. It's really awful. I have an aunt who works in the ICU at a hospital in Michigan. She texted me yesterday and it is very bleak. It is really, I'm going to try to keep it positive here this morning and not get into all of the things she was telling me, but she said their hospital is full. They're very overwhelmed and the state of things is not good. She was like, I wish people could see this. Everybody needs to wear a mask and stop going to parties. Just your evergreen at this point reminder, wear a mask, stop going to parties.
Yeah, please don't go inside anywhere unless you have to. Yeah, I guess maybe I'll just mention this one tool that I think is helpful for anyone who's feeling like not really sure if they absolutely have to not have an indoor Thanksgiving. I'll drop a link to it in the show notes, but it's a tool developed by researchers, I think at the University of Georgia. And what they've done is basically create a tool that allows you to see the likelihood that if you go to a gathering, there will be someone, at least one person with COVID-19 at the gathering. Mm-hmm. And you can select the size of the number of people from, I think, like 10 to 5,000. And you can see throughout the country kind of like where there are places where even if you're around only 9 other people, there's like a 99% chance that someone there has COVID-19. And in other places, there's like a 30% chance. But it's pretty, I think it's like pretty jarring. Yeah. I put the sliders all the way to like 10 people just to see. And there's like a lot of places where hanging out with like just a handful of other people will expose you to COVID-19. And that's some like intense, scary shit. And I think it's a useful tool to like visualize what the situation is that we're in. And then also I think maybe to like send around to people if you have people in your life who are just not feeling as alarmed as they were in May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did it too. And it is very alarming. So yeah, I think the point of like sharing it with other people who are maybe not totally aware of the things that are changing right now can be good, because I think it's easy to feel like, oh, it's the same as it was a month ago or 2 months ago, and it's really not. Mm-hmm. So it is a really helpful way to visualize just how bad things are right now.
Yeah, totally. We do have something that's kind of pandemic related that's more uplifting than tools that allow you to visualize how bad the pandemic is.
Yep.
We're going to chat about a thing, which we love to do.
Let's do it.
You want to tell the people what we're going to chat about?
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about at-home events, sort of like themed events, themed date nights, themed weekends. This was inspired by most recently, my girlfriend and I had our 2-year anniversary and we celebrated with a weekend of at-home activity since we couldn't really go out and do anything. But we've done a few different iterations and I know you have too, Sally. So we're going to talk about all the different ways to do this and to like make an at-home celebration feel really special.
I'm really excited to talk about these at-home events because they provide some much needed festivity.
So the anniversary weekend was mid-October. And so we did a weekend of activities that was the first day of it was Oktoberfest themed. And then the second day was like Christian Girl Autumn themed. So the Oktoberfest day, we did like a sausage recipe. We made homemade pretzels. We got beer and we're out on our terrace with it. We wore like our what we would wear if we were actually going to a beer garden right now. Like we got dressed for it. Had really great weather. We got flowers from the farmer's market, like really beautiful fall arrangements. We got some pumpkins to really set the scene. And then the next day was more of like a traditional sort of the idea of like the pumpkin spice loving person's day, fall day. So more cooking. We made pumpkin muffins. We cooked beef stew from The Joy of Cooking, which is one of my favorites, which we cooked while listening to this Nancy Myers playlist that I'll link in the show notes. It's so good. It like immediately transports you to being like Stanley Tucci stirring a pot of sauce at your stove. Like it's just really joyful. Also, so our themed weekends often involved like theme outfits or some kind of decorations. So for this one, I got fake leaves. Like I just bought a pack of fake leaves online and like sprinkled them all over the apartment, which I gotta say did a lot, especially coupled with the flowers and the pumpkins. But I also got my girlfriend for this part of the weekend a big black floppy hat that you might have seen on many an Instagram influencer. I got her a t-shirt on Etsy that had an illustration of a coffee and a pumpkin. And then it said power couple in that bouncy calligraphy font. She had to pair with black leggings, little booties, a plaid shirt. Like it really was remarkable how much it transformed her look into something very Instagrammable. So that was fun.
It was amazing. Like the photos of your girlfriend in the outfit and also all the things that you both did. Like you elevated the at-home event to essentially like a LARP. in a great way. That is the highest compliment.
I think that like you're right on when you say that, because I think it's like bringing out my like theater kid and sort of love of like costumes and Halloween and theme parties and like sorority girl, all of these things that live inside me that I haven't gotten to tap into in a while come together. And like it's a perfect little creative outlet that ends up being so fun.
It's an awesome creative outlet. And one of the things I love about these kinds of events is that you can do them, like you can just go like all in and kind of LARP, or you can go sort of like lower fi and just like throw something together, or you can do something in the middle. It's sort of like, what do you feel like doing? How much money do you want to spend? Where do your skills lie? Like,
right.
What do you want to make of it? And I love, you guys did it up so huge for your birthday. I mean, sorry, for your anniversary, yeah, which I loved. But then also you did another amazing thing that I would love for you to talk about.
Yeah, the birthday was sort of the not the kickoff, because it started with a beach day over the summer. And then that led into my birthday, which was like a whole beach day, like a beach weekend, a beach trip. I mean, it was really great. And this was all a surprise. Like my girlfriend planned it on the sly, ordered all these things, sort of hid them away from me. There were inflatables. We had food. We had like shell-shaped drink containers with curly straws. She got a little bubble machine for it. It was like so special. My favorite thing about it was that she got us different outfits. And this kind of kicked off the idea of like, oh, we change outfits for these things. But what's really great is that they kind of serve as a souvenir from the event. So she got us those t-shirts where it's like a bikini body like sprayed on them. And she got like each of them had a different bikini that was like more our style. They turned out to be incredibly comfortable, like big roomy t-shirt that I will be wearing again and again. And then she also got custom t-shirts on Etsy that are like those airbrush t-shirts that you would get at the mall or on a trip. So she had like a heart and an island and then our names put in it. And that was she gave me so many wonderful gifts, big and small, throughout the weekend. But the t-shirts were when I like burst into tears because I just loved them so much. Mm-hmm. And the idea was like, oh, we'll put these on in the evening for when we go to the boardwalk. And it was cute. So
cute.
I love the t-shirt. And now I have this t-shirt. It's a great souvenir. So the other thing that she did was she planned a Google Hangout with a bunch of my friends for the evening of my birthday. And she told them in advance to like dress to theme. So everybody showed up in like a Hawaiian shirt or like a colorful tank top. The whole weekend was based on my Animal Crossing island beach. And so she sent them screenshots of it. And so they were all dressed appropriately. And that was like such a small thing that was such a cute surprise. So if you're doing any kind of Zoom or hangout, I highly recommend inviting people to show up with a little bit of a costume on.
And once again, I just happened to own enough floral shirts and sunglasses.
Yeah, you were set.
Yeah, I was good to go.
Again, you can do these things very lo-fi, or you can like pull out all the stops. It kind of depends on what you want to do or something in the middle. But for birthdays, I think it was like worth it to make it a little more over the top.
Totally. I mean, I think like when it's a birthday or an anniversary, or you're just trying to, you know, celebrate something that you would normally be like going out with like friends or to dinner or whatever, like leaning in and making those just like themed, gigantic, awesome events is like so fun and so special when right now we're all doing everything we can to stay at home.
Yeah.
And so maybe now I'll talk about the few that I've done that.
Yeah, I would love for you to talk about the movie night and others that you've done because they're incredibly inspiring.
Thank you. Yes, they were very fun. One thing that's like really fun about doing these, if you're doing it for a partner or a housemate, you know, someone you live with, and you do it as a surprise, it's delightful because you get to like work on this little secret project and they get to anticipate something really fun. I'm like on the fence about surprises in general, which we can talk about at a later date. But like, this is the kind of surprise that I feel like is a low stakes good surprise. So I'm okay with it.
And they know the surprise is coming in a lot of instances. So it's like, you know, you're going to do something, you just don't know what. And I think that's better than just like dropping something out of the blue. And particularly if your partner is not the most surprise friendly person.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I've been known to like burst into tears, not in a good way, upon being surprised. So,
right.
You know, so what happened was over the summer, I was talking with my partner about how we really miss just like going into coffee shops. Like, you know, you go for a walk and whatever, it's fun to go for a walk. But the best part of the walk is when you like dip into the coffee shop, you grab a coffee, you walk around. And we were just really missing that. So what I did was I made a coffee shop in our kitchen. And we have a kitchen island, which makes it easy to set up like a little coffee bar. But basically what I did was like, I made brownies and this one was my first one. And it was definitely my most sort of improvisatory because I decided to do it, sent Andrea outside onto the porch and then set it up in like 20 minutes. So basically what I did was I arranged the kitchen so that like all you really saw when you came up to the kitchen island, speaking of Nancy Meyers movies, I'm talking about my kitchen island. All you saw were like coffee and coffee paraphernalia, which we'll talk about later in the show, but I have a lot of like jars of coffee and beans, and I have different manual ways of making coffee. So I set that all up. I put out a tip jar and I made a bad pun on the tip jar, which I should probably look at my phone, at my Instagram and see what it was. But I put a bad pun on there about how you should tip. I put like a Bernie bumper sticker on the bar. And then I made a menu of like the things that she could order, which is basically limited to like drip coffee or stovetop espresso, but then also like brownies or like a savory snack. And I put on like a channel of like coffee shop noise. So it had like ambient coffee shop noise, which actually ended up being a little bit oppressive. And like after the effect had, after like she got the idea that it was cool, we like turned it off and put on some like good old fashioned indie rock.
Right.
But I think that like the crowning, the like piece de resistance, I guess, much like what you all did with your spray painted shirts and stuff and like your, you know, the Christian Girl Autumn outfits, is I just dressed up like a hipster, like a barista at a hipster coffee shop. Luckily, I have enough pieces of like insufferable items of clothing already in my wardrobe that I just sort of put them together. I actually do own a fedora, not a pickup artist fedora, but like a nice, I don't really know enough about hats to distinguish, but trust me when I say it's not as cheesy as what you're picturing. And I have a button down shirt that I had cut the sleeves off of. So I wore that. And I don't know, I looked like a ridiculous Brooklyn hipster, which was perfect. And then, you know, Andrea came in and like, it was a very like lo-fi experience, but it was like cute and fun and novel. And it's been very difficult over these last 8 months to experience anything novel. I feel like that's kind of one of the biggest things about the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's like every morning there's a new fresh hell to confront in terms of like news, but that's not the kind of novelty like we're looking for. And then I'll just like quickly talk about the couple others that we did. Andrea did a hotel bar for me, which was really lovely. Again, like this just basically involved like pulling out all of the bottles of booze we have, putting them on a shelf. She got really dressed up. She told me to dress up. She turned down the lighting. She, you know, put out candles and a tablecloth, and it just looked kind of cozy. And, you know, she made me a fancy cocktail, and I had like my choice of snacks, and we just like sat again at the island, like it was a bar, and like chatted like we were at a fancy hotel bar, which was very cute. I think my favorite one that we've done is I did a movie theater for her. So basically I printed out, I'm a big fan of like printing out from templates, like menus and tickets and things that kind of feel like, you know, cute little souvenirs. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I set up our living room so that I moved a bunch of things out of the way, so it just didn't look so much like someone's home. I tried to make it just look a little bit less like the place that we're used to sitting and watching a movie. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I found, this was kind of the best part, I think, is I found on YouTube a video that just, it was like 20 minutes long, and it's like the pre-roll that you see in movie theaters. So, you know, there's like movie trivia and, you know, the like, please turn off your phone little jingle, and, you know, go to the lobby for snacks, that whole thing. And oh, the other thing I did is I took a tension rod and I blocked the staircase so that she had to give me a ticket, and I lifted the tension rod.
Wow.
Came in. But she was enchanted by the YouTube pre-roll. It was like her favorite thing. And then what I did was I just like, I had a menu for her, like that you would have if you went to a movie theater that also had, you know, snacks like nachos, and I made her a margarita and she could order like little snacks. And I also gave her free rein to choose the movie, which I feel you know, you want to make these things a little special.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. And again, like definitely not like a go all out type of thing, but I would say like go medium out. And it still is just cute and fun. And if you're crafty too, I feel like you can also make a ton of stuff. Like, I wouldn't know about that because I'm not crafty, but my
you're printing things off. That's pretty, like, that's good. I didn't even think of that. So
yeah, for that one, sadly, like I was trying to figure out what I could do for an outfit, but I don't have, I was like, I need like a vest. I need like a vest and a matching bow tie, like a movie theater ticket taker. Do not have that in my wardrobe yet.
It's probably for the best.
It is.
Yeah. We actually did movie nights this summer on Friday nights, and it wasn't as involved as yours because we were doing them every week. But when you said that you like moved the furniture around, that reminded me, because we brought out the air mattress for these and we blew it up to put in front of the couch so that, and then we like covered everything in blankets so that we were at this like in this just like big island of soft things.
So awesome.
And we turned off all the lights, but we turned on the little like the string lights on our terrace. So those were the only lights in it. So it was a little bit more like being at like an outdoor movie theater or maybe a drive-in. And our thing with this was choosing like the moviest movies that we could. They had to be like the, I think the first one we did was Back to the Future.
Oh,
and then we also did The Parent Trap. They had to be like really movies. And I think that made a big difference too, because it felt like, oh, these are, we're going to the movies.
We're going to the movies, right?
We're not just watching anything. We are going to the movies. And that made it really fun.
That is so awesome. I love that. It's kind of wild that like, even if you don't even have to put that much effort in, if you just give a tiny bit more thought, you can come up with something that makes it feel really special.
Totally. And the thing that I was really surprised by with the anniversary weekend was how different our apartment felt. Like, we had a bunch of these flower arrangements around and the leaves and the pumpkins. And the effect was like, oh, I feel like we like went to an Airbnb upstate. Like, it really did feel like a different space. And I think doing little things, rearranging your furniture if you can or if you want to, like to so it visually is different, does make it feel different and add to the novelty factor. So cannot recommend this enough. I'm thinking now about her birthday is in a little more than a month. So I've got to get my game together to plan something really special for that. I'm also thinking about a Black Friday, like a virtual friend hangout. We've got it on the calendar, but I need to start filling in the details of how we're going to recreate the experience of being in a mall together from a distance. So
I think
now's the time, and I'm really pumped, but now's the time to go all in, get creative, and kind of make hunkering down feel a little bit better.
Totally. Yeah. Make it feel a little special. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I will say just before we close the segment out that I did try one that was like an utter failure, but it was really funny. So I tried to make a pillow for it. The structure I created was not, didn't work. I mean, it was just like the pillows were falling down. The blankets wouldn't stay up. I tried to make a pillow for it and then put string lights inside it. And in my head, my vision was this is going to be so cute and so cozy. And then what it ended up being was like 1 square foot of space where you didn't have a blanket in your eyes or like in your mouth. And it was really hot because of the lights. So we laughed about that and we had fun, but you know, it didn't work. And I just say that to say, you know, don't worry if you try it and you know, what's the shoot for the moon. And if you fail, you land amongst the stars.
Yeah, I agree. Go for it. If you mess up, it's fine. I don't want to brag, but I did manage to make a successful blanket fort this summer, but it was incredibly precarious. I think that blanket forts are really more difficult than they look. And you have to have like a lot of the exact correct height furniture and a lot of books to anchor the blanket.
Books. That's really
smart. If I had tried to put string lights in mine, it would have collapsed. So we couldn't eat in ours. It was like too tight. It was very cozy though. And we watched a Wes Anderson movie in it, which was like a very appropriate movie. So it was cute. If you try again, I can send you some good WikiHows on how to make a blanket fort. But I have to agree that it's fairly difficult to make a blanket fort work.
Yeah, it seems like it would be easy because my impression is that kids do it. But one of the most like surprising things to me about the experience was that I couldn't figure out I was like, this isn't working in any way. And I cannot troubleshoot why. Like I was just sort of like powerless to like imagine how to fix the problem. So I made it really poorly and we laughed and then we put the room back together.
Yeah. That's, you know what? Still got memories, which is all that matters.
Exactly. I will say I'm going to put in the show notes, a link to this website called Canva, CINVA.com.
Oh yeah.
Which is where you can get a lot of templates if you want to make like menus or tickets or just like appropriately themed souvenirs. It's like, you know, you don't need any apps. It's like just a plug and play, like type in some text and they look real nice. So check out the show notes for that.
Yeah. And if you do this or you have done this and have some themes to suggest or some tips to suggest, we would love to hear them to share with everyone else.
Yeah, please let us know because it's like now that we're coming to another, I don't know if we're going to get stay at home orders, but I feel like we might. It's time to like get inventive with the at home events. So for our next segment, which we are calling Show and Tell, I am going to talk about coffee and getting into coffee nerdery a little bit. Like this is dipping a toe into the waters of coffee nerdery as opposed to like getting up on the diving board and, you know, doing a backflip into the pool. Mm-hmm. Really took that one as far as it could go. So here's the deal, Rachel, with coffee and me.
Tell me.
Okay. I enjoy coffee. Mm-hmm. First of all, Rachel, I want to just make a pitch for getting into coffee generally.
Okay. You have the floor.
Thank you. Now, this is not about if you don't like the taste of coffee, please skip to the end. I'm not here to tell you that you should like coffee. But if you like coffee and you are maybe spending more time at home right now, making coffee yourself more often than you used to, or maybe you're still out in the world working and you're taking coffee on the go and you're trying to minimize like going into stores and stuff like that, coffee is a really, I think, can be a fun hobby to get into. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think it's fun is because when you get into manually brewing coffee, which just means any technique that's not like a set it and forget it type of, you know, auto drip pot or like a pod, it can be a fussy experience and it can be fussy in a really like fun way for people who like to tweak settings and experiment with things. Mm-hmm. But it can also be like intimidatingly fussy because there are so many things to tweak when it comes to getting into manual brewing coffee. You can mess with a million variables, the brew time, the coffee to water ratio, pouring technique, water temperature. You can get extremely nerdy and extremely fussy. Mm-hmm. My approach when I started to get more into coffee, which was in 2018 was to first get really overwhelmed with what could go into getting into coffee, right, and then be annoyed at all these hipster assholes who made it seem like who were very gatekeepy about it. And then I found a book called Craft Coffee, A Manual, Brewing a Better Cup at Home. This is like a beautiful hardcover little book. It's written by Jessica Isto, and it's a really accessible, basically handbook to making better coffee at home. She walks you through everything. It doesn't feel gatekeepy. And she kind of explains like, listen, you know, you can just make a decision to make this as fussy of an experience as you enjoy.
Right.
And I enjoy like a medium fussy experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And part of that has to do with the fact that my palate is pretty middling. Like, I'm not here to tell you that I know about really, you know, top-notch delicious coffee, or I can, you know, I can sometimes taste, you know, if something is like, the tasting notes are like smoky and chocolatey versus like citrusy and notes of berries. I can perceive those things if I'm told to look out for them. But for the most part, I'm just one of those, like, I like what I like people, and I like to mess with this stuff and see how to make my coffee taste better. And that's it.
Right. Okay. I have a question. Yes. Do you drink your coffee black?
I do.
Do you think that's a requirement for this process to like get into it?
I don't... See, someone who was a more sophisticated coffee person would have an actual answer for you. But right. I'm going to say that my guess is that it doesn't matter, because I feel like when you, even if you drink coffee with milk and sugar, you still taste the coffee, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so I feel like you can get into it regardless. You know, maybe it's the differences in flavor are less subtle if you drink it black, but I think they're probably still there.
I think that's right. Okay.
Okay. So you can... The reason why manual brewing methods are the way to get into coffee and experiment with coffee is because, like, as I was saying before, if you have an auto drip machine, it really is just like a set it and forget it type thing. I mean, you, you could put like way less coffee or way more water and you could get something you know, way too strong or way too weak. But other than that, there's nothing much to tweak. But if you get, so there's a bunch of manual, different types of manual coffee makers. Like, you've probably seen various kinds of like pour overs. You know, there's like the Chemex, which is really beautiful. And you use like a special kettle to pour the water in. It requires a lot of technique. I'm pretty bad at using Chemex. And also we keep getting them and breaking them. So then we just gave up on it. Felt like it was a sign from the universe to stop buying them. There's French press, which is another manual method, which I actually really like. But I think that the best starter manual brew method to get into is the clever coffee dripper. Mm. And the reason I think this is because, first of all, you don't have to invest like in a ton of money. I think I got my clever coffee dripper for like $25 and it came with like 50 filters or something like that.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. And what it looks like is it looks like a cone that sits on top of your mug, but instead of the coffee pouring through as you pour the water, it's an immersion method where the water and the coffee steep together. And after 3 minutes, you release the coffee.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's a very forgiving method of making coffee, which is to say that, like, you know, if you're there are people who weigh their coffee and their water not by volume but by weight, which is more accurate. And, you know, it maybe if you tweak things to like a tenth of an ounce with a certain brew method, or you let the coffee and the water sit together for like a second or two less or more, it's going to affect the cup you get. With the clever coffee dripper, it's not that responsive to tiny little changes. It's going to be pretty tough to make a bad cup of coffee, even as you experiment with various different tweaks. I say this because Jessica Isto says it in her book, and because I experienced it firsthand. Like, as I was experimenting, the coffee was always pleasing and interesting and very, very hard to fuck up.
Nice.
And the other thing is that, like, I think some people don't like French press coffee because it has a really heavy body and it has kind of an oily foam that some people aren't into. The clever is not like that. The coffee is like really clean, and you can practice what's called blooming with the clever coffee dripper. And the bloom is like when you add hot water to coffee grounds, it sort of like bubbles up, which is the carbon dioxide being released from the coffee, from the brew, which creates like a smoother, nicer taste. And that is something that when you go to a really cool coffee shop, you see baristas do with a Chemex, and it's really cool. And I never was able to actually do it. With the Clever, I think it's a lot easier to do, and you can practice blooming, which I think is really fun. And I want to recommend, so I wrote an article when I worked at BuzzFeed called Here's How to Make Really Goddamn Good Coffee at Home. And I explain step by step basically how to get started with the Clever. But basically what it involves is like getting the Clever, you know, if you don't have a grinder, you can get your coffee ground at a coffee shop, or you can buy it pre-ground. And, you know, whether you get ground or whole beans is another thing that you can think about whether or not you want to like tweak, if you want to like invest in a grinder or not. And then basically you get a little journal or use your notes app, and you just like kind of write down, okay, like this morning I tried this, this is the kind of coffee I tried. This is how much I used. This is how much water I used. And this is how the, you know, when I brewed the coffee, it was like a little bit translucent. So I think it was a little too weak. It didn't taste as strong as it could have. And then the next time you tweak it, you know, and you just kind of, it turns into a whole thing, and it becomes your like little, your little hobby of like perfecting your home cup, which I think that you can do without spending a lot of money or a lot of time or becoming an insufferable person who talks about like good coffee.
Right. That's great. I love this.
And I also, Craft Coffee, a manual, Brewing a Better Cup at Home, which, like I said, that hardcover book has beautiful illustrations. It really takes you through how to get into coffee. And it's, I spent a lot of time reading websites and Googling things and trying to understand coffee. And I always found it really intimidating. I always found it really inaccessible. There's just like a huge body of knowledge, and I found it very overwhelming. This book is like really, really, really breaks it down. So I think especially like if, you know, if you have someone in your life who is like a coffee lover, but, you know, has never experimented with manual brewing, it might be cool for them too. So I highly recommend it. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Okay. We've talked about fun events at home. We've talked about making coffee. So I think that now that everyone is equipped to spend some more time inside, let's talk about a nice thing to end on. Rachel, what's a nice thing to end on?
So I want to recommend an artist. Her name is Lauren Martin, and her website is laurenmartinnyc.com. We will link this in the show notes. She does really great illustrations. And the thing that I've been loving is that every month she releases new iPhone backgrounds, or just phone backgrounds, I guess, but I put them on my iPhone. So they're like themed for the month, and she'll do a couple versions. One will have like the calendar for the month on it, so you can see it on your home screen, but you can also get it without if you just want to keep the same background through other months, which you might, I've done that before. So they're very cute. I think I still have the October one, which is little candle illustrations that are just adorable. Her art's great. I've ordered a print of hers. Sometimes she'll do t-shirts. So just highly recommend a cute phone background that makes you happy whenever you look at it.
Yeah, I'm completely obsessed with these. I'm looking at them again now, and they are really cute and really unique.
Yeah, I love her style. I think it's so great. So check her out. Sally, what's your nice thing to end on?
Okay, well, I'm excited about this. And I think that given some of your recent interests, Rachel, you will be excited as well. The thing I would like to end on is the concept of deep time.
Okay.
So I'm taking a course on Coursera.org.
Okay.
It's called Mountains 101.
I'm listening.
So it turns out that mountains are like a field of study, and there are people whose whole thing is to just like think about mountains. I've done the first 3 weeks of material for the class, and one of the things that we learned about very early on, which I thought was really fascinating, is this concept of deep time, which is the multi-million year time frame within which scientists believe the Earth has existed, and which is supported by the observation of mostly geological phenomena.
Okay.
So deep time is just real fucking mind-blowing, because it's mm-hmm. like, here's what's been going on for millions of years. It's mountains.
I love it.
You know?
Yep.
And it's one of those things that like, I know, I understand that like what we're looking at in the natural world developed over millions and millions of years. But when you really think about the concept of deep time, it's just kind of mind blowing.
It really is.
Yeah. And I love it. And I just want to shout out Thomas Burnett, who was, I want to say, a 17th century scientist or thinker. Who knows what was going on in the 17th century with, you know, people just put ideas down. Mm-hmm. And like, basically at the time, people thought the earth was, that everything you see on the earth was like, this is how the earth has always existed. Like it just sprang up with like fully formed with like Mount Fuji, where Mount Fuji is. And mm-hmm. I mean, they probably weren't talking about Mount Fuji, but basically anything you see came to exist all at the same time.
Right.
Burnett was like, no, actually that's not it. And he went on to explain how various like geological features came to be. And the reason that I'm like kind of obsessed with him is that he was like, no, hold on. Like, let me explain science to you, but then came up with this theory that was like a complete hybrid of like creationism and science. So he like is here to tell you that like mountains didn't always exist the way they are now, but, and like, you know, we have to understand that there's like a geological reality to the earth we're living on. And the flood at the time of Noah is part of that explanation.
Got it.
And I really like that he was like, no, no, no. It's not all about like creationism and stuff like that. It's actually about real science shit. But then he also is like, but the Bible, Genesis was actually the beginning of the earth. And it's a very good reminder to me that like we have a lot of viewpoints that we feel like are right, and also mm-hmm. that we feel like are correctives to like earlier viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And as time goes on, we're like, oh, I was really wrong about that. Or like, mm-hmm. I really had an incomplete understanding of that thing. Mm-hmm. And that is a very resonant reminder to me right now. Mm-hmm. So between Deep Time and your boy, Thomas Burnett, combining geological and biblical realities in his book, Sacred Theory of the Earth, which is also so boss. Mm-hmm. Those are my nice things to end on.
Those are very nice. And this is a great way to tease an upcoming future episode where I'm going to talk to you about dinosaurs. And I'm learning all about fossils and paleontology right now. So Deep Time is like right in line with the things that I've been thinking about lately. And I'm excited to check out Coursera.com because I would love for somebody to actually just explain fossils to me personally versus me reading about it in a book and like periodically stopping to be like, okay, but how did you do this? How do you know this? Because it's just really wild and it makes me feel very, very stupid, honestly, in a good way. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, it's, I'm really excited for this journey that you're on. I think that it's really cool that we're both becoming basically like paleontologists.
Yes.
And I will say that Mountains 101 is awesome. As we get into the third and fourth week, there's like some actual science being discussed and I'm starting to have a little bit of harder time with the material. Mm-hmm. I did have to take a quiz 3 times in order to pass it.
Oh no.
But I'm learning.
Good job though.
Thank you. I stuck with it. I'm learning a lot. So yeah, stay tuned for our journeys into paleontology.
Wonderful.
Okay. So on that note, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Oh, I Like That. Please rate us and review us. If you've been listening to the show and you like what you hear, please do give us a rating and a review. It really, really helps us.
You can follow us on Twitter at Oh, I Like That Pod, or email us at ohilikethatpod@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us directly. I'm at The Room, @the_room, and Sally is at Sally T.
Oh, I Like That is produced by Rachel and Sally and edited by Lucas. Amber Seeger, Rocket Orca on social media, designed our logo.